You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is your guest host for today, Kyle Scheindler from the Center for Security Policy. I'm filling in for Frank Gaffney. Joining me now is Matt Bronski. He's a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group. He's also a senior analyst at Wikistrat and the former director of policy for the Jewish Policy Center for Security Policy. Matt, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about the situation in Kurdistan. You've been writing about it quite a bit lately, and I wanted to get your perspective. Talk to me about what's going on there.
Well, you just had a referendum that took place in the Kurdish region. A lot of that was brought on by internal political dynamics, with Barzani scheduled to leave in November. And he wanted to launch the process, knowing that the process of independence, knowing that, any assurance that he had been given by the central government has proven to be a failure. And, you know, the Kurds admit that after 2003, after the U.S.-led invasion in Iraq, they regret very much deciding to come back and join in and to stay within the country. So basically, any assurances and promises they were given, whether it's from the central government, whether it's from international community, even the United States, has all failed. So you can understand from their perspective why they're trying to reset where negotiations would begin. And that's important for them to have done. And clearly, if you're them, it makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense. Matt, the U.S. government came down against the referendum, joining the Turks, the Iranians, and of course, the Iraqi central government. Now, this, for a lot of us that have been studying Kurdistan for a while, felt like a bit of a betrayal. Can you talk about U.S. policy as it relates to the Kurds, where we're going and why?
The Trump administration really hasn't, they came into office with two essential goals in the Mideast: to destroy ISIS and to push back on Iran. They haven't pushed back on Iran, and that is something that has just been left up to the nuclear issue, which they're still deciding on in October. When it comes to pushing back on ISIS, that is the only goal. They've not taken into account the web of interests in the Middle East at all. There's no plan for Syria from the Trump administration that I can see that handles any of the competing interests. So what the Trump administration really has done is taken the Obama administration plan and thus far put it on steroids. So the Obama administration reached out to the YPG in Syria and the Kurds there and wanted to work with them to create a force, albeit reluctantly and way too late. And so Trump is basically just expanded that role. Now, he has no plan really for after it, and that's why Assad has been making overtures to the Syrian Kurds, because Assad is smart enough to realize that the U.S. is giving him a gift by leaving Russia and Iran essentially in charge of Assad and all of Syria. The Kurds understand, and Assad understands, that he can negotiate with the Kurds after the United States leaves, and the Kurds know that they are capable themselves of cutting a deal with Assad. So what Assad isn't able to take over by using what's left of his armed forces to fight ISIS, what he can't take over in the Kurdish region, he assumes that he'll just be able to negotiate. And really, there's not a reason to doubt that that's going to happen. That should be a problem from the United States perspective. You know, the U.S. hasn't figured out what it really wants to do with Turkey. That's a major question. There are ways that the U.S. could have prosecuted the war, working more with Turkey if they wanted to, as bad as Erdogan's behavior has been. But really, this is just an expansion of a previous policy, and it doesn't seem to take into account the step after. And, you know, what comes tomorrow is obviously important, because there's nothing longer in the Middle East than memory.
I think that's a really good point. And, you know, you raised the issue of the focus on defeating ISIS. And one of the ways we chose to do that, as you mentioned, was backing Kurdish groups both in Syria and in Iraq, while at the same time, on the Iraqi side of the border, we still insisted on this policy of making the Iraqi central government the primary driver of policy. That's a problem when the Iraqi central government relies very closely on its relationship with Iran and Shia militias led by a designated terrorist. Are we in a situation where we're trying to have our cake and eat it too, instead of simply backing a horse and backing them to the hilt, if I can mix my metaphors?
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And I've been arguing this since 2011, that it's better for the United States to have a horse inside the race, so to speak, when it came to Syria, no matter what policy that the United States is going to decide on. The central government in Iraq is increasingly beholden to Iran. And obviously, that's what we should be pushing back against. But there, you know, why would the Kurds think to themselves that the central government is going to come through for them if the Sunnis in the Anbar province and in western Iraq don't trust the central government? You know, and it's there's no reason for the Kurds to believe that. And for the United States, they need to be thinking, okay, if the perspective is that Erdogan is irredeemable, he's essentially growing into an autocrat, or increasingly more an autocrat, patterning rule over the Muslim Brotherhood template, then wouldn't it be better then to replace Turkey as an ally, or to at least gain leverage? You know, to gain that leverage, you need more than just to temporarily work with Kurds in Syria. If these are our people who, throughout two major failed states, Syria and Iraq, then we should be working with them, because that would be our proverbial horse. And at the same time, we are still wedded to the idea of a unified, independent Syria and Iraq. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And a lot of this policy is being articulated by Brett McGurk, a holdover from the Obama administration, and someone who was also very much someone who really helped instrumentally put together the Iran deal and to sell it. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for Americans to be concerned.
A very good point, Matt. Real quickly, Iraq is threatening to take away Kurdish autonomy at their border stations and at their airports, and moving military forces as well. Not much time, but is there a possibility of a Kurdish-Iraqi conflict somewhere in the short term?
I don't actually think in the short term, you know, but you have to understand, the Sunnis together can't coalesce, you know, to agree that it's the sun that rises in the morning, unfortunately. When you look at, just take Turkey, for example, of course, a Kurdish region in Iraq relies on Turkey for oil exports. Okay, but look at Turkey has been working with ISIS to export their oil while claiming that they wanted to fight them. When it comes to money, autocrats will do what they can to make money, and I think a lot of it is bluster. If it was really that important, they would have made a really compelling case not to hold a referendum to begin with, and a while ago.
Good point. Matt, thank you so much for joining us here on Secure Freedom Radio. We will be back shortly.